Please listen carefully.
Well, hello world. Welcome to the Optimist Daily Update. It's Monday, and I'm Christy Jansen.
And I'm Summers McKay.
We're part of the team behind the Optimist Daily, making solutions the news. We bring you reader-funded solutions news every day in order to change the tenor of the news media and the direction of your day to one focused on solutions.
6 days a week, we publish positive news stories written by award-winning journalists and delivered online to your inbox and through our social channels. And because you hear the mellifluous tones of our happy voices, now we are sharing these solutions in a commute-worthy, walk-worthy, Monday morning, we overslept and forgot to take out the garbage-worthy, home office-worthy podcast. Let me say it again. Today is Monday, May 11th, 2020.
And happy belated Mother's Day, Summers. I think that you might be overstating our happy voices. Although I think we're all suffering from this prolonged different world that we're existing in now. You know, some days I feel good and some days I don't feel so good. It is Monday, which feels like there's been a never-ending series of Mondays in this social isolation. But I'm really happy to be on the pod with you today. I like focusing on solutions because it keeps me going.
Hey, it's a good way for us to start our week. And the reality is everybody's feeling a little weary and worn by this new normal that is our pandemic behavior. I definitely feel it's Monday. I do feel like there are some things that are normal that are happening in my life. Yesterday was my first Mother's Day with an infant. I've celebrated Mother's Days with my older children who I got when they were already a bit grown. Over the weekend, we realized that our 9-month-old daughter is so excited about Saturdays and Sundays that she awakens bright and early at 5 a.m. ready to rock. And Mondays, we couldn't get her out of bed until about 7:30. Running late to work, lots of coffee. It's just going to be one of those days.
Mondays never change, Summers. All right, well, let's get into today's solutions.
I guess we should. First, from the finance section of the Optimist Daily, struggling restaurant workers can now get a financial grant from Guy Fieri. Most restaurants around the country have been closed in the wake of the shelter-in-place rules, erasing a much-needed source of income for service workers. Celebrity chef Guy Fieri has taken notice to what the pandemic is doing to the restaurant industry and is doing his bit to help. The self-proclaimed mayor of Flavortown has helped to raise more than $20 million by partnering with the National Restaurant Association Educational Foundation. He and the organization have been sending restaurant workers $500 grants through the newly created Restaurant Employee Relief Fund. In less than 2 months, Fieri has awarded more than 40,000 grants. The Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dive Star said he personally reached out to several food service companies like Pepsi, Coke, and Uber Eats, asking them to donate money to the charitable cause, and that the total amount raised stood at $21.5 million as of last Thursday. That will certainly help some struggling restaurant workers around the country. But in the meantime, Fieri urges people to show support to local mom-and-pop restaurants by ordering food if possible.
This is a great story. I think it's really interesting how celebrity chefs are using their platform to try to sort of shine a light on all the struggles that are going on and also find solutions. Last week, I was listening to an interview with Tom Colicchio, who's one of the top chef judges, and he's got a whole program where he's trying to address the restaurant industry and really sees, especially independent restaurants, which are really going to be struggling. Chef Jose Andres with his whole World Central Kitchen has been a tremendously inspirational person in over the last many years with different kinds of disasters, but he's also out there right now trying to help keep people fed. I just think it's really interesting to see how celebrity can be put to good use.
It's a wonderful opportunity for them to do so. And the more that we can use our positive voices and celebrity voices for change and raising funds right now, because people will continue to need support as we navigate the next chapter of this pandemic.
In another great story about a food service company from our building community section on the Optimist Daily, Second Chances. This bakery is bringing hope back to an old mining town. Generations of Appalachians have relied economically on the coal mines, but now that the coal industry is practically obsolete, communities are suffering. Unemployment is high and substance abuse is rampant. However, not all is bleak in the Appalachian Mountains. In the past year, we've written about a couple of positive initiatives bringing hope back into the Appalachian communities. One story from March detailed the rise of adventure tourism, such as rafting, which is bringing new sources sources of income to former coal towns. Another story from last October focused on a new program that teaches displaced coal miners in West Virginia a new trade, which would be beekeeping. Today, we're bringing you another beacon of light within the Appalachian Mountains. From the town of Jackhorn, Kentucky, Black Sheep Bakery is providing second chances to those who need it most with steady employment opportunities and job training skills. What started out as a volunteer-driven initiative aimed to reconnect locals with Appalachian traditions, like open fire cooking, has now spun off into a successful business. While simultaneously cooking delicious baked goods, the community-owned social enterprise focuses on training the local workforce by providing jobs for previously incarcerated individuals, recovering addicts, and those displaced from the mining industry. Gwen Johnson, co-founder and manager of the bakery, saw it as an opportunity to begin building a new economy for the region. She describes, quote, "We have created an inclusive place of love and belonging for whoever wants to come. I was always a black sheep in my family, which gave me a heart for others," end quote. Bradley Johnson is one of the many locals benefiting from the bakery's vision. A veteran who fell on hard times, became an addict, and spent time incarcerated, is now a proud baker. The Black Sheep Bakery is still operating despite the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic and delivering baked goods to the community members. The bakery is even offering free bread each night to anyone who needs it. For all of us, Black Sheep Bakery is a textbook example of what every community needs right now, a mission to rally behind, and a place where people are treated with dignity. And Summers, this reminds me a lot of like Homeboy Industries here in Southern California, which has come up with a bakery and other really creative, innovative sort of small shop businesses to help former gang members and former incarcerated people. And I think that kind of community action and having good employment and something to anchor a community around can really make a difference. And we all know that bread baking is one of those great things to do during a pandemic.
Absolutely. I think the conversation that we had last week, Amelia and I covered it in a couple articles, but about ways of managing recidivism and keeping incarcerated people out of jail afterward. It's these kinds of opportunities, these kinds of industries that will help not only from a systemic and structural standpoint, but also from individual community standpoint. So I'm going to jump right into this next article, Christy, because I think this is one we're going to want to talk about a little bit. From the health section of the Optimist Daily, what those strange quarantine dreams mean and how to stop them. Even if you're someone who rarely remembers your dreams, you may find that quarantine has provoked dreams that are vivid, scary, or downright bizarre. If you're having wild quarantine dreams, you are not alone. Social media users are sharing the hashtag pandemic dream to talk about the phenomenon. So, why is COVID-19 making our dreams more vivid? First of all, we're actually sleeping more. A new study conducted by King's College in London found that people are getting more sleep during the pandemic than before. This increased sleep could be why more people are actually remembering their dreams. On the other hand, waking up more frequently throughout the night due to stress could also be causing you to remember more dreams. Humans also rely on our REM cycles during sleep to process stressful events and sort them out into long-term memory. However, because the pandemic has brought on uncertain and anticipatory stress, our bodies are having a hard time processing it because it lacks a clear timeline of events. Therefore, it is influencing bizarre or stressful dreams when we sleep. Our brains could also be cultivating weird dreams because of reduced stimulation during the day. Most of us are not getting the same exposure to daily stimuli that we used to, so our brains are digging up odd or distant memories. If you've been dreaming about old experiences or friends, this could be why. Lastly, we are taking in more stimulus from screens than usual, which can affect our dreams. Vivid dreams can be fun and exciting, but they can also be frightening and unsettling. If you want to calm your dream state, consider establishing a steady sleep routine and limiting your exposure to scary or strange stimuli, especially prior to bed. Journaling or doing something creative before bed can also help you process strong emotions before dozing off, or check out one of the many sleep and meditation podcasts we recommended on Optimist Daily last week. Now, Christy, I had a dream over the weekend about work, and I dreamt that I had a candle that burned and set off a bunch of fire alarms, and that the head of our company, which isn't the current head of our company, and that our office, which isn't our current office, but my old office at Paramount, all had to be evacuated, and that they were coming to fire me for this. All of a sudden, all of my colleagues said, "No, you can't fire her. She's doing a good job." And I was arguing that I should be fired because I couldn't do a good enough job because I had so many other things that I was focused on and I was wrestling with not being able to be a good leader. And everyone in my dream kept saying, no, Summers, you're doing just fine. Just take a breath. This fire does not require you to be fired. And I woke up and I was laughing because I pretty much had like a motivational dream for myself against myself.
Well, it's interesting. It shows the inner workings of your mind, but I think that all of us are having anxiety and it's expressing itself in different ways. I know I was just sharing with you before the podcast today about how I woke up and I was journaling myself this morning because I've been having a lot of self-attacks and insecurities. Old insecurities have come up and I question, am I being productive enough? Am I doing enough? Feels like there's just not enough time in the day, which is kind of bizarre because I'm doing so much less than I normally would be doing. I think that part of it is this ongoing uncertainty and anticipatory stress, being connected to the world just through the media, which really does heighten your sense of doom and gloom, and also just being cut off from our normal support mechanisms, not being able to spend time with my close friends and family, not getting hugs, not getting to share laughter and have a great husband, and he's wonderful, but it's just such a smaller life than I'm used to. That's really hard to deal with. So I think vivid dreams are because our whole circumstances have shifted so much, I think.
They absolutely have. And we don't get to cover all of our top 10 stories every day on the Optimist Daily podcast on the update, but there is another story that if this conversation interests you and you want to explore a little more on how to make your social experience feel more real, the Optimist Daily has that in our top 10 solutions on today's solutions, the Optimist Daily. So let's keep exploring the conversation and I guess just all be willing to admit that, yeah, things aren't all rosy and that it is a little stressful. I think we're all feeling like we're not doing enough because we don't know what to do.
Yes, exactly. For our next solution from the design section of the Optimist Daily, eco-friendly hand sanitizer is plastic-free and it moisturizes your skin. I really could use this because I suffer from eczema right now. I just got a new prescription of an ointment. All this washing your hands and hand sanitizer is really doing a number on my hands. So I'm very excited about this. Well, overnight, hand sanitizer has become an essential part of our personal care routines, but the packaging it typically comes in is exponentially contributing to the global plastic crisis. Looking for a solution, one company decided to disrupt this polluting trend with a new hand sanitizer that protects your health and takes the environment into consideration. Designed by care products manufacturer By Humankind, which has already made a name for itself with smartly designed reusables, the gel sanitizer contains 65% alcohol in a recyclable aluminum bottle that holds 8 ounces, enough to refill the travel-sized bottle you already have on hand for roughly 4 times. To make the product even better, By Humankind also added a moisturizing element to the formula. While most hand sanitizers dry out your hands, especially when they're used frequently or throughout the day, By Humankind's formula includes hyaluronic acid, often found in high-end skincare serums and formulas, which helps the skin hold water and stay hydrated. I know this has been an ingredient in a lot of like high-end facial kinds of things. Though the hand sanitizer comes at $20 for 8 ounces, the price is on par with other high-end skincare-focused formulas. And to make it more affordable, By Humankind offers a 15% discount for subscriptions on 2-pack bottles, or you can get a 20% discount on a 4-pack of bottles. $1 of each hand sanitizer sold is donated directly to the Robin Hood Relief Fund, which provides emergency support in the New York City area. I know this sounds a little bit like a commercial for this one product, but I do think it's interesting to think about the impact of all this additional plastic use and small size packaging and the fact that we can't really use reusable grocery bags right now. And I think we just have to really keep focused on how do we reduce the plastic that we are consuming. And I love this idea of having a refillable aluminum bottle that you can actually either recycle or refill. And that's sort of the loop idea as well.
Christy, I totally agree. This is another solution that we'll keep looking out for other companies like this who are doing good. Our last story from the design section of the Optimist Daily today. New building code paves the way for more sustainable cities. Residential and commercial buildings are responsible for about 40% of U.S. energy consumption and GHG emissions. States and cities which approve the new 2021 International Energy Conservation Code, the IECC, will require new buildings to reduce their overall energy usage by 10% compared to the previous standards, significantly reducing energy usage around the country. The code was validated last week by the board of the International Code Council. More than 2,000 state officials and city officials from 641 jurisdictions participated in updating the building code. Some changes in the new code include mandates that buildings have high-efficiency water heating, electric circuits to allow future conversions to highly efficient electrified equipment, and be ready for the installation of electric vehicle charging stations. Many cities and states around the country have set ambitious carbon emission reduction goals. This code, set to be finalized and ready for implementation this fall, would make it easier for cities to move toward those goals. The buildings we construct now will be around for generations. Implementing greener building practices as soon as possible is a great solution for optimizing the sustainable future of cities. And Christy, this last article really speaks to something I heard over the weekend of how we deal with uncertainty and some of the stress and depression that's hitting right now, is think about the difference or the things you can do to make your life better today in the very near future. And instead of thinking 6 months or 1 year in the future, start thinking about how we can make a difference for 5, 6, 10 years in the future. This article is a great reminder that what we do today will help generations to come, even if we don't know if we're going to see a movie this summer or use those Hamilton tickets that we got for Christmas from our mom. We know that we can build buildings in the future that my current 9-month-old daughter and your children and all of the children we love will be looking at 50 years from now.
And this is super important, especially when you think about building codes are usually created looking backwards to try to solve problems from the past. We actually have to bring a future-oriented mentality, because building for yesterday is not going to help us have buildings which are going to be better insulated against fire or better insulated against flooding or other things like that. We really have to upgrade our codes and be smart about it. So this energy conservation code is wonderful, but it's only one aspect of building codes that really need to be rethought and reimagined as we build into the future.
All right. Well, everybody, thank you for listening to the Optimist Daily Update. We promise to continue to share positive solution-based stories with ideas on how you can participate in this changing world and ensure it is changed for the good. We promise to cover the current events with accuracy, legitimate sources, and offer you the information needed most to chart new paths for all of us.
Please consider becoming an emissary on theoptimistdaily.com, and for just $5 a month, you can support reader-funded independent journalism and be a part of the solution to changing consciousness and addressing our world's biggest challenges with a problem-solving mindset.
Thanks, everybody. Have a great day. And Christy, Amelia, I'll see you at the staff meeting in 8 minutes.
Everybody, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye.